The sin of this episode was the black man turning bitch.
You're listening to that blessed and highly flavored podcast. It's only because a nigga blessed.
Welcome back to Black Oak Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We are back for the third episode of The Mandalorian, Chapter 3, The Sin. This episode was written by Jon Favreau and directed by Deborah Chow, who worked on The Hill. Episode premiered November 22nd of 2019, and I gave this one a 9.5 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. The cinematography continues to just look amazing. It's so wonderful what we can do on television now. Imagine this being 10 years ago, even like watching Star Trek 10 years ago versus those battle scenes, The Expanse right now. It just looks great that you can do these type of stories and get the movie theater type quality brought to your own living room. I think I'm watching it in HD too. I can't remember. But really great episode. Let's get into the recap. Mando gets a message from his bounty broker, Jeff, to deliver his quarry to the client directly, who may or may not want to eat it or hang it on his wall.
I got a Glock in my Rari.
I ain't playing no threats to my baby Yoda, okay? I take those very seriously. Ain't feeling it. Baby Yoda, meanwhile, is back there cooing like the cutest baby there is. Creeps out of his crib like every child that lived to get his hands on a very shiny ball that is not a toy. And Mando has to take it away from him and tell him so and puts him back. Rather, you know, he's trying to distance himself, right, from the fact that he's giving this baby away. He's got some little feelings toward it, so he picks it up like it's just a cargo, when he really, like later on when he's holding Baby Yoda, he says it's precious cargo. They get back into town. They go to the shipyard. They park their ship there. I love the fact that we get Baby Yoda's perspective of Navarro. That's the name of the town that they're in. And then Yoda's face when they get to the client's headquarters and they knock on the door and that robot thing pops out.
What the fuck was that?
I was dying hysterical. He's like, what? He just had this shocked look on his face. Like, huh? Stormtroopers greet them. And they always got a shitty attitude. Is that just all stormtroopers, or am I just attached to John Boadega's stormtrooper who... Finn. He didn't seem like a jerk, but maybe a lot of them are. And they grab the crib really hard, and he's like, careful with that. He's like, you be careful with that. Do talk to me. I'm better than you. When clearly you're not, because he like basically ran through you guys like he was taking a shit on the toilet and you were diarrhea that was coming out of his asshole. Baby Yoda kept giving daddy looks like, daddy, where are we going, daddy? He didn't say it, but it was all over his face. And Mando is ignoring him. The client and the scientists are pleased to get him. The one client was just weird. He's like, yes, 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 yes. Then they immediately start probing and doing shit like you're doing an eye exam. Like, hey, back up. The scientist takes, what is his name? I think I wrote it down later. He takes Baby Yoda away. With that little whine, like, why are we going? I don't like this. And the client says, Mando asks, well, wait a minute, hold on. How many fobs did you give out? Because it seemed like a lot of people was on this supposedly exclusive bounty. And he says, well, you know, I had to make sure I got my prize. But to the winner goes the spoils. I get it. And he has himself a whole thing of Beskar steel. Mando wants to know what you're going to do with the child. What's going to happen to him. That the client reminds him that's not what the guild rules are. You take the commission, you take the payment, and then these transactions are forgotten. And it reminds him that Mandalorians are more extinct than steel. And Mando takes his payment and leaves. He then goes to the cave place. I guess this is, I didn't even know this is them in hiding. It looked like anybody could walk in. But I guess you wouldn't cross a whole bunch of people in armor. But he takes his prize to the armorer, where everyone is not quite impressed with the fact that he got all this fucking steel. Turns out, as one points out, these are imperial bars, and the reason that they are exiled in the first place, they are spoils of the Great Purge. I don't know all of my history on Star Wars, so I'm guessing this is just a really bad thing. And it probably has something to do with that event of the Empire coming out and killing people that were against it, I'm guessing. Apparently, only one Mandalorian can come above ground at a time. And the armorer says, first and foremost, I love the fact that the armorer is a female. I'm guessing that the armory that they do is pretty unique to just Mandalorians. But she says, our secrecy is our survival. Our survival is our strength. Mando did get called a coward for breaking bed with the enemy / the Empire by taking bounties from them. And that causes a knife fight.
Come on and check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself. So take it and check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Big dicks in your ass is bad for your health.
Apparently this is like brother beef. Like, I'm not happy right now with my situation, so I'm going to take it out on you. Even though the armor tells them, hey, cowards wouldn't choose this way. Not our life. Because we are both hunter and prey. And a coward would not do that. And she asks, Mando, have you ever taken off your helmet? He says, no. Have you ever had your helmet removed by others? He says, never. She says, this is the way. And everyone says, this is the way. And the beef is scrapped. It's done. Mando gets new armor, minus a signet, because he was going to get the Mudhorn for what caused the damage to his previous armor. But he says, I had help from the enemy. And she says, why would the enemy help you? Well, he didn't know that he was my enemy. So it was not an honorable kill, according to their rules and regulations or the code in which they live by. So she says, well, I'll give you the whistling birds, which we find out what those are, and they're pretty cool. And the rest is to be given for the foundlings because they are the future. And the whistling birds apparently also are rare. She tells him that this new armor is going to cause quite a stir. And as she's making it, we get more flashbacks of his town being attacked when he was a child, his parents hiding him away, but they were killed by the enemy. And apparently he was found as well. I'm sure we'll get the rest of this story by the end of the episode or the series or season, I should say, because there is getting a season 2. Mando then struts into the bar, you know, with his new armor on.
Peace up, A-Town down.
He looking shiny, pristine, glistening like a badass. Apparently everybody and they mama got the tracking fobs for the bounty, but no one closed the deal, so they all hate them, according to Jeff. Jeff apparently got himself a cut too and shows Mando where he is keeping his close to the chest and lets him know, like, hey, what could I do for my favorite hunter, as I brag loudly to the entire bar to rub salt in the wound, which is not, you know, why you gotta be like that. Mando wants his next job. He's like, nah, you wanna go on vacay? I want my next job. Okay, all right, you pick whatever bounty you want. Go ahead. He picks the furthest one away and the most monetary, which is a nobleman's son who has skipped bail. He then asks about the kid once again, because these people work for the Empire. What are they even doing here? Jeff tells him that the Empire is gone. One, it ain't my business. Three, if you really bothered by this, why don't you report it to the New Republic? He says that's a joke. He then leaves, goes to his ship, prepares to take off, but he sees the shiny object and he just can't shake the guilt. Returns to the compound. It's also too suspicious. Everything feels under Like, this is a conspiracy of some kind. And finds his child's crib in the trash.
Oh, hell no!
Apparently, his weapon is the most versatile weapon I've ever seen in my entire life because it has a listening device, as well as thermal reading. And he hears someone talk. Well, he hears the client talking, saying, "I cannot protect you anymore. You need to hurry up, extract the material." And Dr. Pershing says that they wanted it brought back alive. So what's this? So he's definitely right that this is bigger than what he has been told, or he don't trust what's going on. He finds a point of entry on one of the walls, bombs it, and then gets to work on them stormtroopers. It's like, get it. Taking them all out. Pershing, what did he have? What was that little thing that was running around? Because he took that thing out. And then he kept saying, "It's just a kid. Don't hurt it. It's just a kid." And he claims, Pershing, that's the doctor, that he was protecting it as he's begging for his life as well. And when he looks up, Mando and the kid are gone. He did want him alive, Dr. Pershing, but that's not to say that he had the best interest of the child, since it kind of looked like they were experimenting on him, or he was about to extract something from him. Yeah, that's what it was. Maybe that was medical tech or something that was about to, because it had a needle on it. But he then leaves and is ambushed by some more stormtroopers. I didn't know that many were in this pad, but clearly this is a huge base of operations. I mean, they got a lot of Beskar steel. And he takes them all out, but he is then surrounded. He tells them, "I got precious cargo. Let me put this down real quick." Puts down his gun. And then we see what the whistling birds can do. Awesome job. Taking them all out with one little device. A bounty then is put out on Mando to everyone, including Jeff. Everyone's fobs go off as he's walking through the town. He's confronted by everyone who has guns on him, and Jeff's like, "Look, hey, how about you put down the kid and we'll just discuss terms, because I'm your only hope." But Mando distrusts him and jumps into a cart. He points a gun at that BB-12. Is it BB-12 or B-12? I'm not sure. B-12 seems like the vitamin. And he's like, "Nah, motherfucker." Then he points that gun at him. He's like, all right. I'll drive. It's fine. It's cool." But despite him shooting his way to get to his ship, he is pinned down by Jeff. And I'm like, "God damn it, Jeff. Why you gotta keep doing this, man? You're the brother. You're supposed to be on our team. Okay, melanin recognizes melanin." And he tells him once again to give up the kid, or we're going to strip your body for parts, and we're going to take that damn weapon, because that shit is impressive. When all is seeming hopeless and he's looking into the beautiful eyes of his newborn child, not quite newborn, it's 50 years old, but you know what I mean. Other Mandalorians show up in full squad goals to take everybody out. I mean, they just blasting. "Here you go, here you go, here you go." One of them tells him, "Get to your ship, get on out of here." And I love the fact that they didn't even ask questions. They was like, "This our dude? Y'all trying to fuck with him? Then if it's his problem, it's our problem, okay?" I love this. I love this family right here. But he says, "Wait a minute, this is gonna compromise our base. We'll have to relocate the covert." And the guy's just like, "This is the way. This is what we do." Mando gets to his ship and is met by
my name is Jeff,
and it is so awesome that he has some type of little force field, in which, I mean, that is so smart, especially when you leave, you know, your ride open for anyone to walk into. Great. At some point you cannot get past this far into the actual ship in case you need to steal it. And he is able to shoot him, but because apparently he don't hate him for being who he is, he shot him where his Beskar was, so he did not die. I was kind of sad, but because I'm like, don't you better be thankful he saved your life right there. You better be thankful. Don't you be on no bullshit the next time y'all meet up, okay? Because you owe him one. He then is saluted by another Mandalorian who has like this backpack thing, and he's like, I gotta get me one of those. Baby Yoda reaches out with one. We didn't even see him move. We just saw his little hand going up like, I know a whole bunch of bullets been flying. I don't know what's going on. I just want that shiny object up there. And Mando gives it to him. And that is how we end the episode. So good. Let's get into some feedback.
Mail, motherfucker.
Mimi makes it in this week, saying, first, I would like to point out that I've been voting for this show for about 20 years now, so I'm glad it's finally on the roster. LOL, no, but seriously, I'm glad we're finally watching this show because I've been wanting to see it since it originally aired, but I kept sidelining it for other TV shows. But now I'm watching it because I want to give feedback, so thanks. Anywho, let's get into this feedback. Full disclosure, I am not a Star Wars fan. I watched the first new one with John Boyega, The Force Awakens, but nothing after that. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad movie, I was entertained. I'm just not a Star Wars junkie / fanboy. Let me start right there and let you know, neither am I. I went and saw that movie and didn't even go see the rest. I ain't gonna spoil nothing, but I was in my feels a little bit. And I, you know, passively remember some of the older ones, like the George Lucas original one. Anything with that Anakin Skywalker bullshit, that I don't remember whatsoever, other than the fact that, you know, Obi was looking fine because he's played by Ewan McGregor. That was like the goals of that movie. So yeah, that's where my knowledge is. She continues, I just don't get into it like that. I remember hearing about the new movies coming out and I was honestly indifferent. I still haven't seen the second or third new Star Wars movie and I don't know that I ever will. I'm just not interested and I'm not entirely sure why. I know why. There's too much gritty, good, more emotionally versatile shows out on TV right now. Unfortunately, with Netflix and Amazon Prime and other shows, it's hard to want to step back from that and just jump into a PG world where things kind of always rather work out for the better. It's cool. It's not, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I think this is awesome for children, but we're 36-year-old women. I mean, I'm not saying anything against 36-year-old women or men who get deep into that, but all of us ain't in that boat. We're not in that boat. We want to look at Baby Yoda because he's just so adorable and cute. And let's be real, I already know who's under that Mando suit because, spoiler alert, that came out. Apparently, they don't hide shit on Google when you search. But that's fine. It's been a long time. And this is not like in which the Watchmen situation where it's a secret. This is not a secret. It's just more like if you didn't tell me, I probably would have guessed. There would have been three people's name on that list. One have been Antonio Banderas, but I'm like, he too fucking old. The other one would have been, I would have probably figured out who it was before any type of reveal. And that man can get these panties. I'm just letting you know right now. He's so fine. I mean, I'm not going to say it now because it is quote unquote, I guess, supposed to be revealed at some point in the show. But if you are a certain fan of a certain show, he was one of my favorite characters. So that's all I will say. She continues, I love sci-fi as a kid and I love it even more now as an adult, but still not a fan of Star Wars because we got The Expanse too. Just don't get the attraction. I've always been more into Star Trek than Star Wars. In all honesty, I like the movie Spaceballs more than Star Wars. With all that being said, if you know anything about Star Wars, I would love that information throughout these recaps. Girl, I may not be the one for you. I know the Mandalorian kept talking about the Emperor, so are they friend or foe? I think that they're foe. I know that much. They are definitely foe. I always just assumed the Emperor were the heroes, but now I don't know if I like them, if they think it's okay to experiment on a baby. I read somewhere that this Baby Yoda isn't actually Yoda as a baby. It's just a baby of whatever species Yoda is. That's probably true. See, that's probably true. I just keep calling him Baby Yoda, and I've not heard anyone correct me yet. So until they give him a name, he's a Baby Yoda. Unless I can name him. What would I name him? I don't know. We got to be around each other a little bit longer. The show might give him a name. I guess it would be out of respect to let Mando name his own child. But for right now, he's Baby Yoda. I don't know and really don't care what he is. We know he's a kid, and that's all I really care about. So even though the creature is 50 years old, it was still a toddler at the most, and those bitches were experimenting on it. How dare you? She says, shame. So I don't really have feedback per se, really just questions. Now my boyfriend said that I don't need to have seen any of the Star Wars movies to watch this show, so the questions I have may not be something we know now and we'll find out later, or it may be common Star Wars fanboy knowledge. Either way, I'ma ask you and see where it gets me. Question 1. Are Mandalorians a species or just some kind of elite warrior slash soldiers? This one I can answer for you. They are the last. Okay, they're elite warrior slash soldiers. Shit, damn it. I don't know why. I couldn't have just said that. Question 2. Why are the Mandalorian in hiding and can only go out one at a time? I think it has something to do with the fact that they tried the Emperor or the M-Noop Republic. I have no idea. All I got is it was the Great Purge and that's what happened. And the Empire decided they needed to be wiped out. So that's why they're hiding. If the Emperor, question 3, is bad, then why is our hero working with slash for them? I don't think he's working with them so much as for them. Someone's got to bring bread home. Unfortunately, if only the jobs are for the Emperor, it's either starve or someone has to be the enemy of my enemy that is my friend. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. 4, that black dude, can't remember his name. His name is JF. Looked very familiar. Should I know him? I don't. Like, is he from some other Star Wars movie? I don't think so. Like, The Force Awakens. That's the only one I have ever seen, so I would have to know him from that. I don't remember all that movie. I remember parts of that movie. They usually revolve around Finn. I liked Rey when she was hanging out with Finn. Question 5. I recognize our hero's voice, but I can't place it. See? I know, right? So you know the actor, or is that supposed to be a secret? I didn't Google, and I don't plan on Googling until I'm done watching the show. So we'll save that for, I already went into that. Anyway, I may understand these episodes better after I listen to your episode or your podcast for episodes 1 and 2 and have more feedback for you next time. But this is all I got thus far. So until next time, love, peace, hair grease, and black girls are magic. She says, Kay, love you, bye. I love Mimi. And we are finishing up just around the time people are going to start blasting out fireworks because there's a big ass fucking industrial parking lot across the way and they are trash. So if you want to send feedback for the next episode of The Mandalorian, you can send that to blackgirlcouch@gmail.com. You can find this podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else good podcasts can be found. My social medias will be below. Remember to like, share, subscribe. And if you have time, go to iTunes and leave a review. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and black girl magic.